Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton travels to Virginia, stumping for former Democratic National Committee Chairman Terry McAuliffe, who's running for governor.
Terry will do what is right for the women of Virginia. He will stand up against attempts to restrict women's health choices and to ban common forms of birth control. You will not have to worry about that.
McAuliffe leads Republican Ken Cuccinelli in recent polls in the state of Virginia. Boston fans say it could be tough for the World Series atop the Red Sox-Tigers ALCS series. After the Sox 5-2 series winning victory last night, Sox manager John Farrell agrees.
This series had a little bit of everything. Dramatic comeback wins, unbelievable starting pitching, particularly on their part. Tonight we finally broke through on Scherzer, who's been so dominant against us. You couldn't have asked for a better series.
Game one of the World Series between the Sox and St. Louis Cardinals Wednesday night in Boston. I'm Tim McGuire, AP Radio News.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Hey, everybody, it's David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast, and I'm surprised that I've let that cheap thing be on the air for this many years.
Why? It's true.
You know what? That's because I'm so confident.
You're confident in your cheapness?
Thank you.
Wear it. Rock it.
Cheapocity?
Yeah, cheapocity.
All right, so we got a great show today. The weather's starting to turn, and it's a perfect time to have Ann Yonkers in here. She's the founder of Fresh Farm Markets, and she's making her, you're like our Steve Martin. She's making our semi-annual visit as the bounty from the fields and forests changes. And she's brought in Brian McBride of the Robert Wiedemeyer Restaurant Group. We've known Brian for a million years when he was at Blue Duck Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's with Robert. And he's also the chair of the upcoming Farmland Feast, which is going to be a great benefit for the markets, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Nicole.
Well, and later in the show, we're going to be talking about the Metropolitan Cooking and Entertaining Show. It's coming back to the D.C. area. And Chef Terry French, you know him from the Food Network's Extreme Chef. He's going to be calling in and telling us what he's up to and what he'll be doing at the Metropolitan Cooking and Entertaining
Show. That sounds extreme.
It does sound extreme.
All right. Extreme. You want to talk about cricket?
I can absolutely talk about cricket. This is not how you listed it here, but I'm happy to go with it. Okay, so Cricket Azima, she is the founder of the Creative Kitchen and of the Kids Food Festival. Now, this is coming to Union Market November 2nd and 3rd. It is a free event. Tons of area chefs are participating in it, and it's all about helping the battle against child obesity. So it'll be lots of area chefs cooking for families and kids, showing them how to eat correctly.
Where were they when I was a kid?
Yeah, really.
All right, so that wasn't nice.
It wasn't not
all right,
nice.
So you're just agreeing with me. Jonas Singer is here. He's one of the founders of Union Market, which is a shared commercial kitchen space over in Northeast that helps to incubate food entrepreneurs of all kinds. And he's brought in Andrea Schneider of Capital Kombucha. And at some point, we're going to find out what kombucha is. Sounds mysterious, Andrea. And also another returning guest is Scott Harris of Catoctin Creek. Scott was with us when the distillery opened back in 2009. It was the first distillery in Loudoun County that we know of since Prohibition. Scott, yeah, the first legal. Mm-hmm. And he's brought Emily Landsman, who's their brand ambassador, and they're in to talk about.
That's a cool title. I want to be brand ambassador.
I would like just to be.
Cool.
I would like to be. I would like to be the ambassador to Luxembourg because they're going to do spit. Hello there in Luxembourg.
Okay.
All right. So why don't we start with you? When we met you, you just started the distillery, and now you're a macher. You're a maven. You're a mogul. Look at you.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm blushing for radio. We have to say that.
It's a nice shade of red.
We've done well. You know, we've been excited by what we're doing. Grown pretty fast. And just recently, we completed the expansion of our new building. We bought a building that was built in 1921, first year of Prohibition, and renovated the building And now have quadruple the capacity running in the new building.
More booze,
well, so just trying to keep up.
For those who don't know your whole story, let's just talk about like what you started with and how you've changed your profile and how you've grown.
So when we started in a humble garage, basically an industrial condominium. And it was my wife and I working alone together making Roundstone Rye. And that was the first product we put out. And in the early days, the Roundstone Rye was very, very young, as it had to be, because we were making it from scratch. And as we've gotten older, it's gotten older. We now sell, of course, the Mosby Spirit, which is our white whiskey. Mm-hmm. Our Watershed Gin does quite well. And then we also have some other cool products, particularly brandies. We love to work with local farms. And when we can get our hands on some pears, peaches, grapes, things like that, and most recently apples, then we'll make some brandy out of it.
And, yeah, I think we have a natural partnership here.
Absolutely perfect, yeah.
Okay, we only want 20% of that deal.
So I guess in the next few weeks here, we actually have a couple releases coming out. Our grape brandy, which we call 1757, is a American style of cognac, if you will. We can't call it cognac, of course, but it's basically a grape brandy aged in French Bordeaux oak. And then we have our peach brandy, which is very exciting, made from local peaches. Peaches were grown about 10 miles from the distillery. So very, very cool. It's like a big glass of peach cobbler.
Oh, it sounds fantastic. Delicious. All right. Well, tell us what Emily is sitting over there stirring. She looks like a mad scientist with potions and lotions.
Emily is our cocktail maven. She is responsible for probably about half the cocktails that are poured in our tasting room, which is something new we can do now, pour cocktails in the tasting room.
Neat.
So basically, Emily's going to show you some cocktails that kind of highlight our fall kind of menu, looking towards fall flavors as we move into the colder weather.
All right, so what is she making first?
All right, Emily, you want to talk?
So the first one I'm making is called the Colonel Langdon, and this is a mix of our Mosby Spirit.
I love Colonel Langdon.
I know, that's what I was just
thank
thinking
you.
Of.
Of the Mosby Spirit and the Langdon Wood barrel-aged maple syrup. It's actually aged in D.C. in our used barrels. A friend of ours he's a woodworker, and he
works wood.
Added it. Yeah. And it's a really amazing maple syrup, and so we wanted to use it as a kind of a flavor in one of our cocktails. So it's the Colonel Langdon Mosby Spirit, right, named for Colonel John Mosby, and the Langdon Wood. So it's freshly squeezed lemon juice, the syrup, Mosby Spirit, and then we top it with top it with some seltzer and garnish with a lemon peel.
Excellent.
All right, while you guys are pouring,
let's bring in Anne and Brian.
All right. Anne, welcome home, back.
Yes.
That's what I mean.
Yes. When the fall turns around, I just feel like I have to come see you guys.
Well, I know. Well, yeah. So, I mean, today is such a perfect day because it's actually like the first really crisp morning of fall. I mean, even though we're well into October. So let's just talk a little bit about the market and how it changes. What can people expect to find there right now?
Well, we're still pre-frost. Mm-hmm. So we basically still have all the bounty of the late summer and the fall. So we have, we still have tomatoes and we...
Isn't that amazing that we still have tomatoes?
We still have tomatoes. And
isn't
then,
global warming wonderful?
Yes, it has certain benefits. But then we have the whole fall crops. And suddenly, I always say that this is the absolute best time for lettuce. The spring and the fall is so beautiful because it likes cold nights. Mm-hmm. And then the squashes and those greens, like kale. Collards and everything, they look beautiful suddenly. And then lots of beautiful carrots in the market this morning.
Oh, okay.
So this happens all the time. And what we always think about the Farmland Feast, which is always in November as a pre-Thanksgiving Thanksgiving. And it is, in fact, what will happen is that the frost will come and that suddenly we'll be reminded that we're going into the winter season. Mm-hmm. And we have to we stop and pause and thank Mother Nature for her bounty.
Well, I mean, listen, we have had you on every year to talk about the Farmland Feast. For those who may not know what it is, how about you give us a little 411 on it?
Okay. We can do that, don't you think?
Brian, you want to take over?
Well, this year's event is on November
11th.
11th. And it'll be held at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel.
From 6 to 10 p.m. on Monday.
We're having a two-hour reception where we have a lot of local chefs that are going to come and do the event. For the reception, we have Marjorie Meek Bradley coming from Ripple. We have Liam LaCivita from Liberty Tavern and Lion Hall in Arlington. We have Tarver King from the restaurant at Potomac Farm.
It's like all the young guns you brought
in.
We have a mix. We have a mix of the old pioneers and the young bucks here this year.
We like that.
We have John Critchley from Bourbon Steak is going to come. Uh-huh. We have Aaron McLeod from Cedar, Devin Boskaya from West End Bistro, and Anthony Acampanera from Brasserie Beck. They're all going to come and do the reception for 2 hours and are going to do stations with food that's going to highlight the farmer's market and their restaurants together.
Mm-hmm. And then it opens up into a big dinner.
And then we're going to go into a sit-down dinner. And this year we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to do like a family-style first course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we got Frank Ruta to come out of his restaurant.
He's actually coming out of the kitchen.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a shock.
Frank's
going to
come out.
I thought he was, well, it's nighttime. I thought they said he was a vampire. That's why.
No,
he loves us. And of course, he was doing local food and local sourcing.
Frank's,
at the very beginning, from he's the absolute perfect
Frank,
model.
But it's funny because the word is he never leaves that kitchen.
Frank is someone to look up to. Frank is a chef's chef.
He surely is.
He is.
And that's good when you're eating there. You get the benefit of it.
Absolutely.
Frank's going to come, and we're going to do a first course where we're going to do family style, where the chefs are going to do platters and put them on the table. Frank's going to come and do a galantine of organic chicken with smoky gelée, sunshine kombucha, squash mostarda, pickled daikon, and celery remoulade.
Not to be confused with kombucha.
Is that a,
that's
a foreign language?
That's a place of the market.
Did you understand that?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Are you saying peanut butter and jelly? Is that what you're saying?
With snails.
Well, so let's just talk a little bit more because I'd love to go over the whole menu there, but I mean, we only have so much time. So, Brian, how did you get involved this year with this?
We came and sought him out. You know, one of the great chefs of Washington, D.C., who's been, a king of local sourcing. So, and we wanted to change up the feast. We've appreciated the leadership of Cahill Armstrong, who's done the feast since 2007. But we were all excited about finding new energy and new source. And so our theme this year is New Chefs, Fresh Style, Same Mission. And here he is.
Well, what about the resources for the chefs? I mean, are they all people that participate in the markets?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Well,
but
in other words, where they're getting all their food?
We tried to put together a team of chefs that support local producers. You know, everyone that we asked to do the event, like Cedric Maupier from Mintwood, everyone supports local farms.
Everybody sources locally. That's the whole point. This is a Locavore event of the year, and in addition to local chefs, we have all local wines, which we've been doing now for about 5 years, and they're all this year happen to be Virginia wines.
Right, and then, I see you have Tipo Janison, Early Mountain Vineyards, Boxwood Winery, Barbersville.
So that, and one of the exciting things that we have this year is we have Don Ciccio matching their Finocchietto, which is a digestive, with Zoe's chocolates, which are made in Pennsylvania.
Fun. And so these are Zoe's chocolates.
These are Zoe's, and so as Brian was telling me just now, not only are they made locally in Pennsylvania, but they have their own bees. So, you know, isn't it amazing what's happened?
They source organic for their chocolates. They're on the up and coming.
Well, Anne, I would have to imagine for you, given when you started Fresh Farm Markets and the explosion. I mean, you know, every year you add another market to your long roster of markets and their offerings, the Farmland Feast must be awestruck sometimes when you think about like how it's changed and the kind of products that are available to chefs nowadays and what they're seeking out. I mean, the landscape has changed dramatically.
Yes, it has. Yes, it
you
has.
Know? And you were a large part of it.
Yes, I was.
You know.
Yes, I'll take all
of that. So we have this little token. It's a cup of half cold coffee.
And Catoctin Creek is another example. We have three local spirits.
I know.
In our cocktail period. So, I mean, it's totally exciting.
Yeah, we're thrilled to be there as well.
Well, you've got, and you're also giving Miriam's Kitchen a little bit of a window.
We've changed it up. We've always had a farmer speaker, but this year, Steve Batt of Miriam's Kitchen, who is a gleaner, they take the food that our farmers at Foggy Bottom donate, and he makes magnificent food for his clientele, so breakfast and dinner.
Hmm.
And when you go into the kitchen, it smells delicious. It smells like somebody is cooking real food, and in fact, they are. So he's going to talk about how that's changed his clients' lives.
All right, well, we've only got a couple seconds. No.
We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to have some skipjack oysters on the air.
When we come back, we're going to have some skipjack oysters.
Right, because I follow the script. So, okay, this is David and Nikki.
Ann and Brian.
Yes, it does. Thank you. Okay, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are going to have some skipjack oysters when
we get back. That's what she said.
And chocolates.
And chocolates.
If talking and texting interferes with a walk down the street, imagine what might happen if you're driving. Focus on the road, not your conversation. Your brain can't do both safely. No dialing, no talking, no texting to arrive safe.
Hi, I'm Brooke Delaney.
And I'm Congressman John Delaney.
As a teen, I know not to text while driving. My dad and I ask you to focus on the road, not your conversation.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Healthcare providers often put aside optimizing business processes because their primary mission is care. But these processes are critical to improving patient outcomes in the long term. Register for AFSEA Bethesda's 6th Health IT Day on November 13th at the Bethesda North Marriott and hear how federal IT pros are optimizing their business processes with cutting-edge technology solutions and research to provide quality care for the patients of tomorrow. Register today at afseabethesda.org/healthit.
In today's competitive job market, imagine not having the reading skills needed to even fill out an application. 90,000 adults in D.C. are considered functionally illiterate. It takes a lot for an adult to admit they can't read. It takes even more courage to do something about it. The Washington Literacy Center teaches adult learners to read, giving them options and a bright future. Please give back to the community by donating today. Go to WashingtonLiteracyCenter.org and make your much-needed charitable contribution. Changing lives through literacy. WashingtonLiteracyCenter.org.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We've got Ann Yonkers and Brian McBride in, and we're talking about the Fresh Farm Feast, and we just tried some skipjack oysters, and they are
Farmland Feast. It's a big party with the best chefs in the D.C. metro area, and you have all these fabulous mixologists.
And all the proceeds benefit Fresh Farm Market. We're a nonprofit organization,
right.
So we highly depend upon this.
I know you do, and it's such a, I mean, as since I've been there. The last couple of years. It's such a great event, and we're thrilled. What's your problem?
I was home with the kids.
Right, poor baby. I know, we feel so bad
for you. My life is like...
Poor baby.
Those damn kids.
I know. All right, so let's give everybody the last 411, please.
So the last 411 is Monday night, November 11th, 6 to 10 p.m. At the Ritz-Carlton, the Farmland Feast.
Okay, great.
Online.
And I just lastly...
Online at freshfarmmarket.org.
Brian, you brought in these fabulous oysters.
These are skipjack oysters from the Great Wicomoco Oyster Company out of Chesapeake in Virginia.
They're gorgeous.
They're salty, briny, and really
I can
good.
Honestly say I had one, and they're definitely an aphrodisiac. Worked right away. Fabulous.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, thanks,
so I have one more thing to say.
Yes.
Is we have two kinds of tickets. Cocktail party tickets,
okay.
$125, and dinner tickets at $300.
Oh, okay, so you were offering it two
so
ways this year.
Yeah, that's our change up this year. And
okay, good
thanks
to
creative thinking of Brian and his team.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Scott, we want to come back to you for a second. Catoctin Creek, you know, when we first had you on the show, you were brand new. We were at Lambstock down in southwest Virginia, and there were bottles of Catoctin Creek all over, empty bottles, all over the place.
That's even better.
I mean, what are you guys doing in your distilling processes and with your ingredients? You went to the moon very quickly.
So I mean, basically, we have a couple, you know, things that really make our stuff nice. You know, we use all organic ingredients. So people sometimes ask us, does organic mean, you know, that it's healthier? And I'm like, no, it's not healthy. It's whiskey. But it does taste better.
Which has its own health benefits. Don't
Right. But as a, federally licensed distiller, we're not allowed to make health claims about spirits.
Right.
So we don't. But we can say that it is. It does taste better. You know, the grain is extremely clean. It's never had pesticides, herbicides, fungicides on it.
Mm-hmm.
And those things come through in the taste of the spirits, especially since in distillation we're concentrating flavors that come through the still. The second sort of big sort of ringer that we have is my wife. My wife, Becky, is a chemical engineer, and she's a foodie, and she's got a great palate, and she makes really, really good whiskey. So, you know, just the way she's making her cuts and things like that that go into the process, the craftsmanship of the whiskey are really good. And it's, you know, helped us to really gain an audience of people who maybe weren't drinking whiskey before. We mm-hmm. have demographics in our company that suggest we have a following base of about 50-50 male-female, and I like that. I think that's really cool.
Well, and I can attest to that because I think years ago, I mean, I would have never had not even a cocktail with a whiskey or, you know, the
and
rye
and then after
and
15 years of marriage, she has a shot about every
well,
hour.
Now I drink it. Now I drink a lot. Yes. But no, but I think my palate has expanded and I certainly have developed an appreciation for it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially because it's not, the complexities are there.
It's really helped us to grow. You know, we started in Virginia mm-hmm. and then we quickly got into D.C. and Maryland. That was kind of our core, you know, for the first year where we wanted to be.
Sure.
And now we're shipping as far north as New York City, mm-hmm. as far west as Nashville, and as far south as Atlanta. And on Monday, we're going to ship our first international shipment. We're going to start shipping to Singapore.
Cool.
So that's kind of cool, too.
That's very
so I guess
cool.
they like whiskey out there, too. So it's
apparently
really cool.
They do.
Okay,
all right.
Emily, very quickly, just tell us what you're mixing up next.
So this is the honey cake. This is a cocktail I created originally for the Jewish food experience.
Oh, sure.
This was a Rosh Hashanah cocktail.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to use traditional flavors, apple, honey.
Sounds like an oxymoron, a Rosh Hashanah cocktail.
Well, Jews are big whiskey drinkers.
Well,
so
you've ever sat through
not in my family, but thank you.
So this one is, it's actually... Actually, mulling spices that sat in roundstone rye overnight. Some honey. This is I just happened to use
good.
A really dark wildflower honey and freshly squeezed orange juice. And
lovely.
That's
all right. Thank you.
All right.
Okay,
so
thank you.
Now we're going to switch gears a little. Terry French, are you on the phone?
Yeah.
Hi. How are you, man?
Hey, Terry.
So Terry French was the winner of the Food Network's Extreme Chef competition. I think season 2. Do I have that right?
Yep.
The big one. And he's coming into D.C. November 2nd and 3rd for the Metro Cooking and Entertaining Show at the Convention Center. And he's going to be one of a number of celebrities in the Celebrity Theater doing cooking demos and signing autographs. But I did a little reading up on you. You're a kid from Evansville, Indiana, which is, you know, it's one of the biggest towns. I think it's 100,000 people. But that's a long way from winning, a big thing on national TV. Tell us how you got from Evansville to where you are now.
Well, you know, traveling, throughout most of my career, I went to the Navy and just got hooked on traveling. I mean, seeing the world was pretty much the biggest thing that, you know, I wanted to do. And then, of course, falling into being a chef just went hand in hand with, you know, traveling and that, because you can go anywhere and be able to cook, because there's always going to be somebody that wants to eat. So that's sort of how I could cook anything, anytime, anywhere came from, you know, from cooking out in the woods as a kid in Indiana to jungles of Thailand or Africa or wherever.
And how did all that traveling influence your cooking styles?
Well, it gave me the ability to be very versatile in my food and actually have a really great understanding of culinary cuisines. The ability for me to actually, talk to somebody from Vietnam and be in their house, the ability to understand the food, it makes it easier for me to cook the food and make it authentic and make it really taste like you're, in Vietnam or you're in Africa. I apologize, my voice is going in and out.
That's okay, I can hear it.
Now.
Well, if you had some of the whiskey we were drinking, maybe that wouldn't
that's
be
right.
happening.
That's cure what else
you I've been drinking the whiskey.
Well, so let me ask you, as you're traveling and you're sort of getting inspired by these different cuisines, are you sort of picking up their techniques or are you taking what you already know and just using the ingredients?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I learn something from everybody every time I cook with them. It's always a learning process and the ability for whatever skills I have as a chef. And I'm introduced to a new ingredient or a new dish. And I cook it with them, but it's, you know, something that just stays with me and the ability to carry and then use or fuse in a different way down the road.
So I got a question for you, because in a very good way, you've been described as kind of a badass in the kitchen because you really run the show and you put a lot of passion and fun into the preparation. And some chefs are very subtle in their approach and some chefs are very take charge. Where'd your style come from? Is that natural or did you mark on somebody early on?
Well, my style is just me. It's just, you know, positive mental attitude and getting up and just doing stuff. You know, my father, he was, you know, he's like, get up and go to work, boy. You know, you just sit around the house. You know, and my uncles, everybody was like that in my family. You know, you just get out there and do what we got to do. Hey, well, we got to cut some wood. Come on, we got to do it. So, you know, going into the military, you know, played football in high school. It was, you know, just what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You know,
all right,
get up and then be determined and then be direct. But that's what, you know, separates the leaders from the followers. And, you know, I guess it's, you know, the easiest way I can explain that.
Well, you'll be leading the celebrities at the...
I'll be leading and following, trust me. I like making my own rules.
It sounds like it. At the Metro Cooking DC show, you're going to be there only on Saturday the 2nd, correct?
Right, Saturday, maybe Sunday. Yeah, I was going to go last night. Debbie and Gabrielle and I were together, and we were talking about how good time we're going to have down there.
Well, and what are you going to be doing?
I'm thinking I'm going to be cooking some mountain lion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got...
And seared grilled mountain lion. I'm sorry, guys. I apologize about my voice.
That's
okay.
Honestly, my wife wishes my voice would do that.
Just once in a while.
So I want to hear... All right, so people can find you at the Metro Cooking show on the 2nd. And I think your performance starts at 11:30. Is that right?
Yeah, it's 11:30. Yep.
All right. Okay, so they're going to want to go to MetroCookingDC.com.
I don't know. The time keeps changing, but... I'll be there definitely, and I'll show up, and I'll make everybody happy.
All right. So I would, and we've got a couple of minutes. I want to make sure everybody knows it's MetroCookingDC.com where you can get your tickets to see Terry and Debbie Mazur and Gabriele Corcos and all those other celebrity chefs doing their thing.
All those crazy, cool people.
All those crazy people. But we got a couple of minutes before we wrap. I want to hear about the Extreme Chef experience because was that your first sort of major competition like that?
I mean, I don't know. I compete every day when I go to work. I look at everything as a competition every day to get the job done and get it done right. So, yeah, but I mean, as far as a televised program being thrown into the world, into the wild with a bunch of people I didn't know, yeah, it was the first time I ever had to do that.
Anything happened behind the scenes you want to reveal now that it's over?
It'll be in the book, though.
Did you almost kill anybody? No? None of that?
No. We're all really good friends. From all the cast, we're all still together. I'm getting ready to do another event down in Gulf Shores, Alabama, and be at my buddy that I beat in his old cuisine in his old country is coming down there to meet with me down there and do it.
Well, it's always good to beat your friends.
So we all hang out. We're real tight.
All right.
The experience it was very, very family bonding, you know, between the seven of us there.
Well, all right. It looked like it was a lot of fun. So, okay. So, everybody, make sure you go see Terry French at the Metropolitan Cooking and Entertaining Show on November 2nd and 3rd at the Convention Center. It's MetroCookingDC.com. Terry, thanks very much. Go have some whiskey and take care of your voice.
Take care of your throat.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm trying to find some ginger and some honey.
All right, man. Take care.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Look forward to seeing everybody there.
We'll see you there.
Thanks.
All right. Bye. So, Scott, let's come back to you and hear about this drink.
Well, I'd like to talk about the tasting room, because now that you're making cocktails there, nobody cares. So, tell us how that happens now.
So, yeah.
Welcome to my marriage.
when we were in the little garage, we had a little tasting room, and it was also our office, our conference room, you know, our ABC store, and it was really crowded and cramped. So we soon learned that we were getting a lot of tourism from D.C. and other places and needed a tasting room. So... In the new building, we built in a thousand...
Now, did that occur to you when you were creating these products? Were you thinking we would have people come and show them the distillery and give them a tour? I mean,
not at all. When we first started, we were just a wholesale manufacturer of spirits. You know, the Virginia ABC law didn't allow us to do tastings, tours, and bottle sales. And we actually got the laws changed to allow us to do that because people are coming out to the county for the wine experience and touring the wineries, and they wanted to see us too, and especially since we're a little different. And so when we bought the new building, we renovated a nice big tasting room. It's about 1,000 square feet, beautiful bar, beautiful original glass windows and everything like that in the building. And then we came up with a cocktail program. We wanted to show people out in the county, you know, when you come down to D.C., it's fairly easy to get a really well-made cocktail. And when you come out to the county and you go to a nice restaurant, you can get a Manhattan. It's just kind of meh. And so we wanted to sort of teach people, how do you make really good cocktails? And so we started developing these and pouring little sampler flights for people so they would know what to do with the bottle and take home a bottle with confidence that they could make something. And, you know, the recipes are all on our website. Mm-hmm. It just makes it really easy for people.
I think it's really smart because I'm intimidated about making cocktails. I mean, I have all these great people who come in and mix up wonderful things, and I have a fantastic bar at home, but yeah. I don't touch them.
And
I
so
mean,
now
I just
you
don't
can
know
go
what to
home
do.
With a bottle of our stuff and then, you know, make up, you know, something for like a bunch of guests on a Saturday afternoon
Probably
party
not,
or something.
Probably not, because our older boys drink all the booze and then pour water in there.
I know. There is
that
alcohol.
Could be a
They're
problem.
8, 7, and 6. No.
All right, well, what are you guys making next?
So, well, that the last one that came around was the honey cake.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, sorry.
And that was really highlighting some of those fall flavors, mm-hmm. The mulling spices, coriander, cinnamon, anise, and things like that that go into that and infuse the rye. It's
right.
pretty yummy.
Now we have to take a break.
We do have to take a break. I'm sorry. Okay. So we're
going
to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about more entrepreneurship with Union Kitchen. We'll be back in just a sec.
Soldiers returning with traumatic brain injuries or other serious battle wounds often spend weeks or months in a VA hospital or other rehab facility. DVDs for Vets is collecting DVDs and portable players for distribution in our community and nationwide. Many of us take for granted our access to everyday enjoyments, and DVDs for Vets needs your help in giving these injured soldiers some diversions from the monotony of a hospital stay during recovery. To donate new or used DVDs or to learn more about this worthy cause, please go to www.dvdsforvets.org.
Signs, so subtle we may not notice them. Signs like loss of interest in activities. Signs like insomnia, fatigue, or withdrawing from friends.
Hey, Jeremy, come play cards with us.
Even talking about wanting to die. These are signs of depression.
Hi, my name is Smitty. My husband, Congressman Jerry Connolly, and I urge you to take signs of depression seriously. Let your loved one know you care, then seek help from a doctor or mental health professional.
Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Healthcare providers often put aside optimizing business processes because their primary mission is care. But these processes are critical to improving patient outcomes in the long term. Register for AFSEA Bethesda's 6th Health IT Day on November 13th at the Bethesda North Marriott and hear how federal IT pros are optimizing their business processes with cutting-edge technology solutions and research to provide quality care for the patients of tomorrow. Register today at AFSEABethesda.org/HealthIT. Day.
Hey, Mom, why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
We are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and now we're joined by two entrepreneurs that have some really cool stuff going. Jonas Singer is one of the founders of Union Kitchen, and Andrea Schneider of Capital Kombucha is one of his entrepreneurial tenants, I guess is the way of putting it. And guys, let's start from the start. This whole concept is very interesting, and I want to understand the model, and I want to make sure people understand exactly what Union Kitchen is all about, so hit it.
Sure. Well, Union Kitchen, we call ourselves a food incubator. Really what we are is a business incubator for food businesses. And we provide folks the space to produce their food. And we also work very hard to help people sell their product and take care of all the business things that are necessary for running a small business that not everyone who makes food is necessarily good at, naturally inclined to, or when you're starting your own business has the time for. So we basically try to lower the barriers to entry and make people more successful in running their businesses.
So you help get business permits and all of that stuff?
Yeah, everything. I mean, we take care of the kitchen. We handle the cleaning crew. We handle all the contracts. We handle all the equipment. We help people get their business licenses. We connect them with marketing and branding, professional services. I could go on for a few minutes. Yeah.
Well, can we start before?
Sure.
Like, how did you come up with this concept? Because just years and years and years ago, before I did this as a living, I baked out of my house for area restaurants,
right,
which was highly illegal.
Right.
But, you know, at that time, the only thing you could do was either cook at a church or a temple or something like that. There wasn't anything like this. So how did you come up with this idea?
Well, you know, I am not much of a foodie myself, but my business partner, Cullen, and I own a cafe in Northwest D.C. He's really the food guy with food background, mm-hmm. and it's called the Blind Dog Cafe, mm-hmm. and we had been looking to expand the cafe. His younger sister's a baker, and we, you know, to expand, we would have needed a central commissary, mm-hmm. and so we started looking around for spaces, and as Dre knows, it's very, very hard to find. There are church basements, there are other alternatives, but they're messy, or the time is tough, or the equipment's not right, and it's just not set up for success. And so as we went through the process, we actually found a great building that had been the formerly owned by Occasions Caterers and was used by Moby Dick, so it was fitted out with a lot of the equipment we would need. And we found the building and said, this is the right price, it's a great deal, but it's way too big for us, what will we do with it? Mm-hmm. And so we originally just thought, hey, this is in a town like DC, you find cheap real estate, you take it. And so we took the lease on it and knew from the start we would share the space. And as we got into building it out and starting to get members in and tenants in, we decided that, you know, we could layer on all these added value services that would allow us to do more to tear down the barriers that were confronting small businesses, but that would also allow us to make money in running that business.
Well, I think one of the interesting things is it's really almost a true cooperative in the sense that you do group buying, so you have the buying power of everything. Actually, we should turn to Andreas and talk about
how Capital Kombucha
got in there and what the hell is kombucha and is that a place or a thing you eat or drink?
Sounds like a squash.
Hit it.
Actually, kombucha started as a guy, mm-hmm. Dr. Kombu. Cha just means tea in Chinese. And the story goes 2,000 years ago, this doctor, Dr. Kombu, invented this method of producing tea. And that's mm-hmm. how the name originated. It's been produced for over 2,000 years in varying forms around the world
since
then.
So what is it? Because isn't all tea comes from the same leaf, right?
Correct. So we use a blend
See what he's learned doing this show?
You know, don't condescend to me on the air. Do it later when we're at home and naked. But yes.
Wow. Okay. So oysters and kombucha and the clothes are coming on.
That's right. I'm the
it
man.
It doesn't
here.
Take much for that's my right. husband. That's seriously. Right.
I have a Speedo on over here. So. But I mean, what's the process?
So the process is to brew a sweetened tea and then lightly age it with a culture. And the culture is basically a combination of yeast that's very similar to how beer is made, and bacteria that's similar to how yogurt is made. So you combine these two things, and it ages the sugar out of the sweet tea and converts them into probiotics and other helpful enzymes that are basically good for your gut.
So you fell in love with this, and I know you were a management consultant. What drove you out of that and into this, and then you found Jonas and his guys?
I was looking to, you know, create a product that would let me go places and drink whiskey on Sunday mornings. So that's good.
Look where you are.
Look at Scott's got his order book out already.
So my dad is an organic farmer in upstate New York, and he'd been drinking kombucha for a long time and trying to convert me to drink it. And I just didn't enjoy the taste of any of the commercial products I was able to buy in the store. And so when I moved to D.C. a few years ago, started brewing it on my own, basically with the thought that, you know, there's got to be a way to make this drink that's good for you, but also make it taste good. Too many people think that something that's good for you has to taste bad. Mm-hmm. Just don't buy that.
Oh, it doesn't?
Well, can we open one of these to taste
Nikki's
good?
Always serving
Absolutely.
Food. So yeah, then how did you find Jonas and his guys?
So we searched for months to find one of these smaller commercial kitchens that Jonas mentioned before and outgrew it pretty quickly. We're basically looking for a larger shared space where we could grow the company.
Now, are you wholesaling to businesses, or you are?
We're carried in about 65 stores between Northern Virginia and Baltimore.
Yeah. Nice.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
And so, Jonas, tell us about some of the other people who are at Union Kitchen. And you guys are doing a lot more than just helping small businesses. You also have The Lot, where you're doing events. Like, how is that all? And you cater? I mean, it's
getting hustling.
Bigger and bigger.
Well, we have over 50 businesses now. Mm-hmm. So some of the ones that are worth highlighting, we have Capital Kombucha. I mean, I think Dre and his guys are leaders in our kitchen because they are so savvy in how sort of the larger business side of things is done. We also have Taqueria and the food truck. You know, they're some of the forefathers of the food truck movement around here. We have Cured DC, who does great meats. We have Border mm-hmm. Springs, as you talked about being down at the Lamb Jam. They work out of our space. We have guys doing roasted chickpeas called Two Armadillos. We have bakers, caterers, food trucks, people doing packaged food, people doing beverages. We have a guy making iced tea, people pickling things, so all sorts of different things. And as you mentioned, we ourselves have a couple other things going on. We The alley we're on is a very small street, so we had to get a parking lot. And I said, well, if the parking lot's sitting sort of dormant during the nighttime, why not just get a restaurant license on it? So we now have a restaurant license and a liquor license on our parking lot, and we have a concert there tonight if anyone wants to come by.
When is the golf course open?
Yeah, we're working on that. We'll build a farm on the golf course.
That'd be nice.
And then, yeah, we cater. And so the cool thing about the catering is that essentially we get catering inquiries. We don't make any of the food. We subcontract all of the food out to the members. Mm-hmm. And what we try to do is drive revenues to the members so that their businesses succeed. I think what a lot of small businesses face is they have a really hard time finding their customers and selling. And so we're trying to drive people a baseline of revenue so that they have the money to pay themselves, to support their families, but to have cash to support the growth of their businesses and to really follow their passions. And so our, you know, we call it Union Kitchen Caters, and it's available to get food from any of the, you know, 55 businesses we now have.
And do you
as
help
members.
Structure it? Like if I was doing an event and I came into you, would you help me?
Yep, we do
organize?
The whole thing. I mean, we run the bar, we do the service, the linens, the whole thing. And, you know, we basically subcontract the food out to all of our members, and then we bring the food and do the whole kit and caboodle for an
it's
event.
It's a brilliant idea.
It is a really brilliant
you're
idea.
You're a hippie. Is what you are.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the modern parlance is, you know, system disruption. I mean, we're trying to make it so that, you know, look, in the food world, there's no middle class. There's like really small people doing artisanal food, and then there's Coke and Pepsi and Frito-Lay, you know? And so we're trying to establish a middle class. And by doing that, we need to find efficiencies and need to sort of push the envelope and giving people an opportunity to grow into that middle class. And, you know, by being creative and coming on here and running our mouths, we can help find a customer base that wants to support
that's
that.
That's cool. You're a capitalist hippie, which is the
yeah,
best
exactly.
Kind.
Yeah,
exactly. Great.
To your point earlier, the food business, especially wholesaling and manufacturing, tends to be pretty low margin. And so you look for economies of scale wherever you can get them. And one of the biggest benefits of Union Kitchen is that we're able to, like you said, combine our buying power and a lot of our production work and facilities maintenance with other businesses. And so we're spreading those costs among a larger group of people.
But I have to imagine also the networking is incredible. I mean, if you're just getting off the ground to talk to somebody like you.
Yeah.
You know.
So one good example, one of our customers is the Wine Source in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this great store that does wine, beer, spirits, and then they also have a small grocery section and a charcuterie. And so Cured DC, one of the companies in Union Kitchen, is looking to expand their wholesale. And we said, oh, the Wine Source is a great spot for you. And so we basically helped upsell.
Right,
well, that's what I was
going to
share. We've got about 40 seconds, but, you know, is this a model that can travel? Because it's a great idea, and it is something new.
Yeah, it's definitely a model that can travel. I think what we've learned is that it definitely takes people with the managerial and operational skills to make it work. 52 people running small businesses, a lot of different personalities in one
pretty
state.
Kitty cats.
I can only imagine.
But I think anywhere where there's high real estate prices and there's these barriers to entry, I mean, look, the food system in this country is very messed up. And so things like this can definitely be very successful in lots of places.
Mm-hmm. All right, how do we find you online?
We're at unionkitchendc.com. You can tweet at us at unionkitchendc, and you'll find all of our information there.
And where do we find you in the real world?
We are at 1110 Congress Street Northeast, and the parking lot, the lot tonight, we have a concert going. It's at 3rd and L Street Northeast.
That's my band. I'll be
yeah,
the Virgin Rubber Band
from college. I'm the only one still left alive, unfortunately. All right, well, that's Union Kitchen. Great idea. Thanks, guys. Oh, wait a minute. We got to work.
Capital Kombucha.
Yeah.
CapitalKombucha.com, at Capital Kombucha.
And where can people find you locally?
So we're in. If you go to our website, you can see all 60 stores that carry us.
Right. Well, it was delicious.
It was great.
I really liked
terrific.
It. Maybe Scott will make a little cocktail, and Emily will make a little cocktail with it. All right.
All right. So
thanks,
now.
Thank you.
Now we're going to Cricket. Are you there?
I am here. Thanks so much for having me.
Hi, Cricket.
Hi, Cricket. How are you?
Cricket Azima.
Although I think,
go ahead.
Sorry, I was saying my voice is like Terry's. There must be something going on in the
We
New
must
York
be thing. Giving everybody sore throats here today. I don't know what. But you're the, am I correct, you're the founder of the Creative Kitchen. And you're,
I am indeed.
And you're putting on the Kids Food Festival in collaboration with the James Beard Foundation, which is an auspicious partner in kids food festivals. Now, that's going on at Union Market, right?
It is indeed, November 2nd and 3rd. We're really excited to host an event in D.C. We've had two really successful events in New York City at Bryant Park, and we're excited to get the show on the road.
Well, so for people who aren't familiar with the event up in New York, now that you're bringing it down to D.C., can you tell everybody a little bit about it?
Absolutely. It's a family event. We're celebrating food, and we're educating families about how to make balanced food choices. We're hosting a main stage area with live entertainment. Mm-hmm. We have the James Beard Foundation Future Foodies Pavilion, where we host hands-on cooking classes for kids and families. And then we have our Balance Plate Scavenger Hunt, where families can visit different exhibitors. And as they engage, they participate in a scavenger hunt and get a goodie bag prize at the end.
Who
so
are
it's
some
really
of,
fun.
But, oh, wait, do we have to take
yeah,
a break?
Yeah, we're going
right,
to have to go to
Cricket,
a break.
We have to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk about, first of all, who some of the chefs are that are going to be participating. And then I want to talk about, like, what brought on this festival for you and why you got it started. This is David and Nikki great. Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are talking with Cricket Azima and Fighting Childhood Obesity. We'll be back in just a sec.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 3 number one albums? 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You can help families overcome the challenges of autism. The Virginia Institute of Autism, or VIA, a nonprofit school and outpatient program, is looking for passionate professionals to provide a range of applied behavior, analytic assessment, and clinical services for children with autism spectrum disorders and related developmental disabilities within an hour radius of Charlottesville, Virginia. Potential BCBA supervisors, behavior technicians, and instructors should visit viaschool.org or call 434-923-8252.
If talking and texting interferes with a walk down the street, imagine what might happen if you're driving. Focus on the road, not your conversation. Your brain can't do both safely. No dialing, no talking, no texting to arrive safe.
Hi, I'm Brooke Delaney.
And I'm Congressman John Delaney.
As a teen, I know not to text while driving. My dad and I ask you to focus on the road, not your conversation.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
In today's competitive job market, imagine not having the reading skills needed to even fill out an application. 90,000 adults in D.C. are considered functionally illiterate. It takes a lot for an adult to admit they can't read. It takes even more courage to do something about it. The Washington Literacy Center teaches adult learners to read, giving them options and a bright future. Please give back to the community by donating today. Go to WashingtonLiteracyCenter.org and make your much-needed charitable contribution. Changing lives through literacy. WashingtonLiteracyCenter.org.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Before we get back to Cricket Azima, I just want to quickly thank the folks that support this show. Without them, we wouldn't be on the air. And if you're not among them, you should be ashamed of yourself and you should get cooking and start sponsoring. Our friends at Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's the Two Rusticos, Evening Star, Tallulah, Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse, the fabulous Birch and Barley, where Sam Nellis works, Church Key, Iron Gate, and Blue Jacket coming online. The two founding farmers, Farmer Fishers and Baker.
Did you say Iron Gate?
I did say Iron
okay,
Gate.
Just making
I see,
sure.
Stop editing me.
I can't wait for Iron Gate.
Black's Restaurant Group, our friends down at Early Mountain Vineyard, Carpenter Shelter, the American Land Board, and the Virginia Wine Board. I want to thank you for supporting the show. And let's get back to Cricket Azima. Cricket, how'd you sort of settle on the whole issue of childhood obesity and wanting to do something about it?
Well, you know, I really believe in learning through fun. And the Creative Kitchens philosophy really embodies just that. We teach math, science, history, art, and nutrition all through fun activities with food and cooking. So we really took what we're doing in our cooking classes here in New York through the Creative Kitchen and expanded it through the Kids Food Festival and really are trying to teach kids and families how to make balanced food choices through fun, engaging activities, really teaching them how to make good life food choices through fun. I'm not a big fan of learning nutrition in traditional ways. A lot of people don't like to just read labels and hear about what they should and shouldn't eat. So the Kids Food Festival and through the Creative Kitchens classes, we really like to get the kids having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then there the likelihood of them retaining the information that's going to help their food choices and learn about nutrition really sticks better.
Well, it's, so it's, as you come to D.C., who are some of the chefs you're working with, and what are they going to be doing at the festival?
Well, our chefs, we have some are doing demonstrations on our main stage, mm-hmm. and then others will be participating by leading classes in the James Beard Foundation Future Foodies Pavilion. We have Spike Mendelson, Cathal Armstrong, R.J. Cooper, Richie Brandenburg of the Union Market.
Mm-hmm. They're all big name chefs. I mean, they're very active in the local food community here. So, but they'll all be participating, doing demos, and will people be giving talks? I mean, how are you disseminating the information?
Through hands-on cooking classes. Each of those chefs will be leading a class for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be really fun. While the event is general admission is free, those classes are actually ticketed, and we're partnering with the Alliance for a Healthier Generation,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be supporting them and fighting childhood obesity through donations to that organization.
Well, tell us a little bit about that organization, because I'm not really familiar with them.
Sure. They are a joint venture between the American Heart Association and the Clinton Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a really, really wonderful advocacy group. And they've been fabulous in terms of the support. They'll be on site as well. They've got some fun information to disseminate on fighting childhood obesity as well.
Okay, terrific.
Well, wait, let's get to the most important information. Tell us about some of the NFL All-Stars you're going to have there.
Well, the names will hopefully soon be released, so stay tuned.
Oh, okay. We can't know
so
yet.
You can't tell
it's
anybody yet?
It's a secret. All right.
No, not yet, but NFL Play 60, they will be there on site, and they've got a really fun obstacle course for the kids.
Oh, cool.
So
they'll love that.
So that'll be a fun thing, too.
All right.
Okay, is it free to get in?
Absolutely. It's free general admission.
Okay.
And then it's $25 for the hands-on cooking classes in the James Beard Foundation Future Foodies Pavilion. And that is admission for a child and one companion.
Oh, terrific.
All right. Now, how do we find you online?
You can visit us at kidsfoodfestival.com.
Okay. Great.
Awesome.
All right, Cricket. All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Okay. So just give everybody the dates one last time.
Sure. It's November 2nd and 3rd at Union Market, and you can get tickets for the hands-on cooking classes in advance by visiting our website, www.kidsfoodfestival.com. We really hope to see you guys there.
All right, great. Thanks, Cricket. Thanks so much.
All right.
Thank you.
So let's go back to Scott Harris for a second.
And Emily.
Well, and Emily, but I know you're mixing something up there, but what's next for you?
You know, it's funny people ask us that now that we just got into this new building. You know, we're just starting to settle in, and it's kind of funny. It's hard to look forward beyond that. You know, we since we started the company, just want to be a solid, especially East Coast brand. You know, when people come to the East Coast,
yeah,
they find our stuff.
Singapore's on the East Coast.
Yeah, but you know, I'll take an order when I get it. You know,
right.
So you know, if we get more than that, then that's just a nice thing to get. We have now the facility to grow. Last year we produced 40,000 bottles of spirits, and this year we have the capacity to grow to 160.
Does that completely and totally blow your mind when you
consider? It does, especially when you consider 40,000 bottles were made by two people, by Becky and her assistant Greg. So that just blows my mind. All I do is Facebook in the back office. So, you know, they're doing all the damn work.
Well, that's better than porn.
Yeah.
Let's admit it.
We're hiring. I think, you know, we're going to be hiring a couple more people in the next month and just trying to keep up with the demand that we've got, which is a good
place. What is the demand for? I mean, since you have all these different products now.
Well, over half of what we sell is the Roundstone Rye. So Roundstone Rye is our signature product. It, you know, it didn't start out that way. We were making them all equally. But, you know, Americans especially just love brown whiskey, and rye is really, really hot. So mm-hmm. we sell an awful lot of that. And our new still that we got from Germany, 1,200 liter still is dedicated to producing Roundstone Rye around the clock. And so now our old still, we affectionately call it Barney because it wants to be purple. Every time we polish it, it turns purple. basically, that's now the other projects, the brandies, the gins,
things like
that.
Yeah, it's
funny.
I was thinking like Barney Fife, actually.
Yeah, no, Barney the dinosaur.
Showing my age.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
So.
So that one does like the gin.
The gins, the brandies, you know, it's the specialty still that we're using for other stuff so mm-hmm. that we can keep doing Roundstone. We used to have to shut down Roundstone rye production to do something special, mm-hmm. and now we don't have to do that. We're cranking out at current rate about 6 barrels of whiskey a week, which for us is a lot.
Wow.
So.
And are you going to play with it a little bit? Are you looking to age some?
We're doing some different things. Yeah, we've got some special projects going on. We've got some whiskey that was among the first that we ever made that has been aging since we started, mm-hmm. the oldest stuff we have. And we're working with some other companies maybe to do some interesting.